The following Piano Jazz podcast is from a program which originally aired in 1997.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Frank Kimber. He's one of today's most lyrical yet introspective pianists. His music has a rich romanticism and a sort of subtle sense of voicing and phrasing. He's also an authority on the music of the late pianist-composer Herbie Nichols, and he incorporates much of Nichols' work into his own performance. Frank, how are you?
Very well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's nice that you are here, and I'm so interested in all these various things you're doing, particularly the Herbie Nichols project. I mean, how did that come about?
Well, it's sort of a long story, but I first heard Herbie's music about 12 years ago when it was his birthday, and they were playing a retrospective of his work on WKCR, a radio station here in New York. And I'd never heard his music before. I'd heard his name, and as I recall, it was a snowy day, and I didn't really want to go out, so I decided I would stick around and see what his music sounded like. And it struck me immediately, a very vital, vibrant, wonderful, unique music. So I immediately hit the record button on my cassette machine and recorded as much of the show as I could and started transcribing his tunes the next day.
That's amazing. You just had an instant affinity.
It was instant. It was amazing. I don't think I've ever heard anyone that struck me quite that way before.
It's interesting. I mean, you were already playing and a professional musician when that...
Yes, yes. I'd been in New York at that point for 5 years or so and was working around town. You know, not as much as I'd like, but yeah, I was working.
Well, not as much as you are now.
Not nearly as much as I am now. That's true.
Well, before we go any further, I think those that don't know about Herbie Nichols would be intrigued to hear some of his music. Maybe you could play one of his pieces.
No, I'd love to. I'll play a tune that he wrote. He recorded it for Blue Note with a trio, but this it's a tune called Wildflower.
Nice name.
Yes.
You know, it's amazing. It has such a mixture of sort of old-time, maybe New Orleans feeling, and then interspersed with some very out harmony in B-flat and ending on a B-natural.
Right, right.
You know, it's...
His music incorporated so much. He was of West Indian descent, but grew up here in New York. And he was a contemporary of Thelonious Monk and Bud Powell. They all used to hang out together. And Herbie, he used to participate in some of those jam sessions up at Minton's, up in Harlem. And the story is that he was, you know, he was sort of a retiring guy, so he was the guy that got kicked off the piano bench, you know. But his music incorporated a lot of West Indian sounds, a lot of... New Orleans kind of sounds, and he was also influenced very heavily by composers like Hindemith or Bartok or Prokofiev, people like that. So he was very interesting in the way he put things together. You know, a lot of his music has some pretty wild harmony for its time, and
the way it started out, you know, and then it sort of evolved into something more old-timey.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've obviously done fantastic research.
Yeah, a lot, quite a bit. His music touched me in such a way that I really wanted to find out as much about it as possible. Now, he died in 1963. And we tried to find people who were related to him. He left no survivors. I was able to locate a few people who had worked with him or who had known him, some musicians. And all of these people have been very helpful in my research, I think because they liked him so much. He's the kind of person who... nobody has anything bad to say about. You know?
It's amazing, but in all this research and work on Herbie Nichols, one must not lose sight of the fact that you yourself are a fine pianist, and you've got your own style. And you, alongside doing research on him, you're also playing your own way and doing your own thing.
Yeah, well, so, that's what the music is about. I think are we supposed to be ourselves, right?
Well, that's right. And, well, before we go any further, I'd love to hear one of your pieces played your way. How about that?
Okay. I'll play 20 Bars, which is a tune off my Maple Shade record called Lonely Woman. And there it's played with a trio. And obviously here we'll play it solo.
Okay. You know, that piece is so fascinating to me, and I'm sort of trying to follow along. It starts in A minor, and it's a 20-bar blues, but not really. And then it winds up in F, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, right. Don't ask me how.
But when you do those things, do you just like
when I write, it's as though I'm dreaming. I don't question anything, so that. Whatever comes out, that's what it is. I don't question it theoretically, or I don't approach it really theoretically.
You mean you don't say like, oh, I can't do that.
That's wrong. I never say I can't do that because you know this is we're practically to the year 2000 here. You know there's John Cage.
John Cage.
You know, John Cage. There's so much music that's gone down. There's really nothing you can't do anymore.
Well, it's true.
So I don't question that. Carla Bley said something once that I found very interesting, and it was just a very, very short statement. And what the statement was, once you lose your ignorance, you can never get it back.
That's pretty profound.
I think it is profound.
That sounds like Carla.
I compose a lot out of ignorance. You know, I don't question it. I don't approach it from a theoretical standpoint or things like that.
But it's funny because that you remind me of Alec Wilder. He would say the same thing. Like he wrote a tune for me, and it had sort of a funny length to it. And I said, well, it seems to have two extra bars. And he just very impatiently said, well, that's the way it came out.
But that's Moon and Sand?
No.
No? Because that one seems like it has two extra
bars,
too. Yeah,
it does,
too.
Doesn't it? But he always... It was a tune that he wrote for me called Why, as a matter of fact. But a lot of his pieces had extra bars, and he was probably thinking the way you are, I love that way of thinking, just straight ahead and like you're in a dream.
Yeah, ideas come and you just sort of write them down and hope that they'll fly. And if they don't, you can always throw them away, you know?
True. It sounds like you don't have to throw too many away.
No.
You know what? Now we could... we could do a tune together, but before we do, I really should check you out and see where you're actually from, where your beginnings are.
Well, my beginnings are in North Carolina. I grew up in a small town called Roxborough. I graduated from high school there, and then I went to Appalachian State University in the mountains, North Carolina. And then I stayed there for 3 years until the piano faculty decided that jazz wasn't music, and then I left.
I had the same problem.
Thankfully, things are a bit different now.
Yeah, thank God they are.
Yes. I should give them credit, though, because they've hired me back for the last 8 years. I've been back there to teach jazz piano in the summer.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
It's
like
very
they
wonderful.
Recanted.
I remain friends with a couple of people there who were sort of mentors to me. So even though I had these sort of problems, I didn't let that get in the way of my friendships with some of these people, and they ended up having me back after a while, and it was I suppose poetic justice to be able to go back and teach what I'd been thrown out for doing. And I've enjoyed it very, very much.
I would really love to play something with you and
sure,
see how things work out together.
Great.
So you mentioned one before the show, Sweet and Lovely.
Yeah, I love that tune.
Wonderful tune.
Okay.
Nice, you know, that you've got a very kind of a different feeling of I don't know how to describe it. It's just the feeling you put into the thing is different from your average bebopper. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, thank you.
But the nice feeling, it's fun to play. One more tune, and you picked one, believe it or not, all the years we've been on Piano Jazz, nobody has ever played Doxy by Sonny Rollins.
I cannot believe that.
I don't know how it happened, but thank you for suggesting that because it's a real good tune and we can wind up with that.
Great.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.